The beginning or middle-ish part of a Harry Potter publishing AU. Written by Alejandra, read by Rena Jenkins. Fandom, Harry Potter. This story takes place post-canon and is non-epilogue compliant.
Hermione's problem. Okay, one of Hermione's problems is that she refuses to hire wizards who have actual qualifications. It never works out well. They invariably have studied high literature, all kinds of theory. They have opinions about the sort of people who read popular fiction, and they always reject the best stuff and keep the shite. Several of the wizards she's hired in the last decade of running the editorial department have gone on to be quite successful. Most of them someplace else, unfortunately. Because she hires people who read The Quibbler and the novels one finds in the shops at King's Cross. Her best hire was Luna Lovegood, actually, whose preternatural ability to ferret out the best of the trashy novels the regular old wizards love skyrocketed Hermione's plainly named wizard books to the top of... Well, they sell well. Wizards don't really have a bestseller system the way muggles do. Hermione's often thought that if perhaps she could somehow convince her bosses to adapt their business model to work in the muggle world, they could skyrocket to the tops of the bestseller lists. Her parents, bastions of normality and certainly examples of people who read only trashy novels, despite being, or perhaps because they are, dentists, love the books she sends them. Her parents and Mrs. Weasley are the people she keeps in mind when buying and editing novels. She thought for a while that perhaps she would end up, doing something important. Writing treatises on certain magical properties, or the uses of spells to do something or other. But she ended up in fiction, because she had no qualifications and therefore no prejudices. And now she can't quite wrap her head around the idea of doing anything else. Which means there's no hope for it, none at all. She's going to have to hire Draco Malfoy to be her new editorial assistant, because it's him or the youngest Petill, and Afshan's owl kept admiring herself in the mirror, whereas Draco sent his resume by regular post, written in immaculate penmanship on regular, everyday parchment. She will admit that because it's clear Draco doesn't expect to get the job, and what a Malfoy is doing looking to be working, she wants to know. Part of why she will hire him is pure meanness on her part. But part of it is because out of the several dozen resumes she received, three were howlers, as if that would make hiring more likely. Draco's was the plainest and least qualified, and therefore, in keeping with tradition, the most perfect. For a moment, before dipping quill into ink to invite Draco in for an interview, she wonders if this is really fair to the others who work here. And really, even to herself. It would mean seeing Draco Malfoy every day. And didn't she get enough of that in school and in the order? Yes, she did. And yet, she'll admit to a certain prurient curiosity, and maybe also a slightly ridiculous and girlish desire to see him again, to catch up. To make Ron and Harry jealous. To make them pay attention to her again. And perhaps it's time for bygones to be bygones, as her parents have told her. Perhaps it's time for her to sit up straight, put her quill into the ink, and accept that despite Draco's parentage, he wasn't quite evil, and maybe has even grown up into a real person. Hermione scrawls the invitation to come in for an interview in a strong hand, and sends it off with one of the post owls, and sits back in her chair. She doesn't have any more time to think about this now. It's time for her to be editing the latest in a series of romance novels about Avila who falls in love with a goblin. The end.